I seriously have been looking forward all week long, but really this has been a journey of the last several months and truthfully the last year. I have been looking forward to simply saying to all of you this morning, welcome home. Welcome home. My name's Sean. I have a privilege and honor of working with a wonderful leadership team, and it is a joy to be here with you this morning. Really grateful that you're here. If you're new here, by the way, I want to let you in on something. You're not alone. We are all new here. This is the first Sunday of a new chapter in this place. One of the things that we like to say here that helps you understand a little bit about our heart is a simple kind of motto. And the motto is this, that this is a church family where everyone is welcome. So no matter where you might be at today, you may have came here today and you're exploring about what it means to trust in Jesus. You're not really sure what you believe about him. I just want to let you know you're welcome here. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling to trust God, and it was a real struggle just to get up and to be here today. And I just want to say you're welcome here. If you're here today and you're a passionate, devoted follower of Jesus who is pursuing him at every turn, you are welcome here today. This is a place where everyone is welcome. Doesn't matter. You're from Alberta, you're welcome here. From Gulf Shores, you're welcome here. From Foley, you're welcome here. Magnolia Springs, you're welcome here. If you're an LSU fan, you are still welcome here. You are still welcome here. Everyone's welcome and nobody's perfect. Would you mind turning to the person next to you, look them in the eye, and just say this, you are so imperfect. Would you mind just saying that? Yeah, absolutely. Tell me that's not good. We believe everyone's welcome, nobody's perfect, but we believe in this place, not because of what we bring to the table, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done for us in Jesus, that anything, and I really mean this, anything is possible. You can have a new marriage with the same spouse. You can have a new relationship with the same church. You can have new life, not just here and now, but for all eternity. So thank you so much for being here. If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to make your way over to Joshua chapter 1. And when you're in Joshua chapter 1, you can hold your place and go over to Joshua chapter 3. You don't have a Bible with you, everything is up on the screens and you can follow along with us. I simply want to say this morning that we're here today for one reason. And that reason is not because of some strategic leadership decision. It's not because of networking. It is simply because of the goodness and favor of God. We are here because God has been so good to us. I grew up in this area. I grew up in Alberta. I went to Foley High School. And I eventually went off to college and seminary in the Northeast and planted and pastored a church for almost 15 years in San Diego. And in 2017, God started doing something in the heart of my wife and I where we really felt like that God was inviting us to take a step of faith and to return here with many of you and see God do a new and fresh work right here in this place. You may wonder, how in the world did we get right here? In just a very, very short version of what took place, we were able to get a few pieces of equipment from this building that sat empty for a long time. And in May, I received a call from a guy named Chad, a wonderful guy, and he said, Sean, we own the building. I'm wanting to know if you'd like to buy it. And I said, sure, if you want to give us the money, we'll buy whatever you want. He said, no, seriously, what would it take? I said, seriously, Chad, it would take an only God story. It would take a miraculous work of God. That's what it would take. Well, the very next day, roughly around 10 a.m., I go to my car. I had missed a call, and the call was from a guy named Sandy. Last name Sansing, Sandy Sansing, who owns the largest car dealership in 500 miles. The previous place that this church occupied was a car dealership. And essentially, Sandy said, we were awarded a Nissan dealership, and I want to know if you would like for us to make an offer. And I said, we're actually not selling our current place. He said, well, I want to make an offer anyway. One thing led to another. And after five offers and all kinds of wild stories that took place, God was extremely gracious, and we sensed he was at work. We sensed he was at work as a good and wonderful friend, Bo Smith, and a wonderful pastor in this community said, our church family am going through a transition, and we want to come, and we want to join, and we want to be a part of God's story with you. We believe the best is yet to come. And so here we are today. Last week and the week before, we closed, and we stand here this morning on November 4th, 2018, and I am with great joy proud to share with you as a church family, at least when it comes to the facility that you see here today, this church is completely debt-free. Now, don't get me wrong, we have some other financial goals, so don't you stop giving. I'm just kidding, just kidding. No, I'm so humbled by the grace of God in our midst. I can't wait for the journey ahead. Please hear me this morning. Jesus tells the best stories. Jesus tells the best stories. So here's a deep question. How do you enter into a new chapter? Maybe you're here today, and God is inviting you into a new chapter, and you're struggling to know, how do I enter into that? Here we are as a church family. This is our first Sunday of many Sundays and many weeks together. How do we enter into a new chapter? And for that, I want us to turn our attention and heart through the lens of looking at this story that takes place, really in Joshua chapter 1 to Joshua chapter 3, because God's people are entering into a new and promised land. If you know nothing about Scripture, this is all you need to know. This is the biggest event in the life of Israel to date. They're waiting for the fulfillment of the promise of God. All the way back to Genesis chapter 12, you might remember hearing the story about a guy named Abraham, whose name means father. And God changes his life and changes his future, and his name becomes Abraham, which means father of nations. And he was given this promise, a promise of a new land. Land in Scripture is deeply connected to the favor of God. And it would come a point in time that God, in his grand favor, would bring about, through that promise, Jesus, someone who is greater than Adam and greater than Abraham and Moses and greater than who we're looking at today, Joshua. His name is Jesus, that name above all names. And so this promise is first given to Abraham, and then the entire world is blessed from it. And when we enter into Joshua chapter 1, they are working through this journey toward this new chapter. I do want to say this because I think it's really appropriate. You know you're not a mistake, right? You know that your very life is not an accident. You're not a coincidence. That God created you, and he created you with a purpose, and he is a God who has plans for your life and dreams for your life. To the people in the Old Testament, God says, and to the nation itself in Jeremiah chapter 29, "For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration, plans for your well-being, not for disaster. I give you a future and a hope." And so let me make some observations for us when it comes to entering in to a new chapter with God that we see through this story. The first is this: it takes the humility to surrender. In Joshua chapter 1, we pick up in verse 10, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, 'Go through the camp and tell all the people, get provisions ready for yourself, for within 3 days you'll be crossing the Jordan to go in it and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to inherit.'" Aren't you glad we don't have to make things happen? I have a good friend of mine who continues to say, don't try to make things happen. Let God make them happen. Verse 16, "They answered Joshua, 'Everything you have commanded us, we will do. And everywhere you go and send us, we will go. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses in everything. Certainly the Lord your God will be with you as he was with Moses.'" This is just mind-blowing to me because I don't know if you catch this. Did you catch that there wasn't a how? It wasn't as though Joshua is laying out a very detailed strategic plan of how this will happen, and then the people said, "We really like your plan, let's go do this." That's not what takes place here. There is this sense where the people are recognizing the presence of God. They don't know how it's going to happen, and they're willing to surrender. What I love is they're willing to have obedience even while their questions have to wait. And so much of our lives, our understanding has to wait, but our obedience doesn't have to wait. And they just said, here we are. We have this posture, this humility to surrender before you. I have a good friend and mentor who pretty much every month does the same very strange practice. He takes a sheet of paper, and it is a blank sheet of paper, and he sits down at his desk, and he writes the date up at the top, and at the bottom of that sheet of paper, he just writes his name. And this is kind of the prayer that he prays. I have no idea what a month will hold. I don't know what's going to take place, God, but I know this. My hands are open. My heart is open. Whatever you want, God, I'm giving you a blank check. What a great description of life. God, I'm giving you a blank check. Whatever you want to do, you can do. And I think what you discover when that takes place in your life is there a tremendous amount of freedom. There's freedom because we no longer have to try to be the God of our own lives. Do you know what's a great definition of sin? A great definition of sin is substituting ourself for God in our story. There is so much freedom in our life of not trying to be God. I called a good friend recently and asked them as we were working on this space. In 40 days, we have worked hard to renovate this space. There have been over 2,000 hours from our serve teams that have put in to make this happen. And to all of our serve teams, I was going to list off the people who have served. You know who you are. I just simply want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, I have one other person that I want to thank briefly. It's someone who, if you were here over the last 40 days, you would not have seen them because they were at home with a six-month-old and a rocket of a five-year-old. They allowed me to get up and leave the house most days by 6 a.m. and not to return until late in the night. They have been praying for us and have been supporting, and I simply want to say publicly, wherever she is out there, thank you to my wife. I love you and thank you so much. There is so much freedom that takes place with a humility to surrender, not trying to be God of our life. Maybe you're here today and the truth is you view God as a taker. Maybe someone like me, maybe a church like this, to be honest with you, you've experienced some form of spiritual abuse. I just want to humbly say that our God is not a taker, that the story of Scripture is really clear. We have a good, good Heavenly Father. You can trust Him, and you will never regret trusting Him with your life. Second observation is this, a heart to put God first. Joshua chapter 3, look at verse 1. Joshua started early the next morning and left for the acacia grove with all the Israelites. They went as far as the Jordan and stayed there before crossing. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God carried by the Levitical priest, you are to break the camp and follow it. But keep distance of about 1,000 yards between yourself and the Ark. Don't go near it so that you can see the way to go, for you haven't traveled this way before." I think there is something here that's easy to miss. This particular story is actually a story not about the river. It's not a story about Joshua. It's actually not even a story about the people of God. It's a story about the presence of God. And if you'll notice, what they did is they put the ark where? They put the ark first. They put the ark first. You want to cross over into a new chapter with God, you got to have a heart to put God first. And here's the truth. God doesn't do seconds. There are things God will never, ever do, and I'm so glad He doesn't. God will never, ever be surprised. You'll never find Jesus pacing the floors of heaven saying, "I have no idea what we'll do with that." You just won't. God will never change. He's not going to improve on Himself. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm so glad He is. And He will never do seconds. We may think that God's doing seconds. He will never do seconds. And if we will learn to prioritize God first, we will find all the rest of our life falling in alignment. But if we fail to put God first in our life, it doesn't matter how you order your life. Your life will always be out of order. Joshua says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Put God first. Having a heart to put God first, the humility to surrender, and then the faith to believe God has a plan. This is like the hardest. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priest, take up the ark and the covenant and pass and go ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so that they will know I'm with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests, carry the ark of the covenant, and when you reach the edge of the Jordan rivers, go and stand in the river. At least two things that I notice here. I notice that Joshua believed that he didn't need to come up with a plan and ask God to bless it, but rather he needed to put God first and trust that God's plan was the best. Anyone here struggle with this? Anyone here go, God, I got a great plan. If you wouldn't mind, I've already thought it out, by the way. It's really, really good. Would you mind blessing that? It's a whole different journey to say, God, I don't really know. All I know is this, I'm going to put you first. I believe that your plans will always be better than my plans, and I'm surrendered to it. I love that Joshua didn't try to invent a way of crossing the Jordan River. Can you imagine that? He just gathers everyone together and says, listen, it's 2 miles wide in some parts. It's flood season. If you're not a good swimmer, I'm sorry. It's not going to be a good day for you. Anyone in here swim like Michael Phelps? Come on. This is going to be good. He didn't try to invent a way, nor did he try to negotiate with God. God, you know it's flood season. You know, this people, they're not ready yet. So I got a great plan. Let's go in a different season. We'll try it then. Then I'll know exactly what we're getting into. I can encourage them. I can inspire them. That's not what he did. Instead, he opened his heart. And he said, God, I have faith to believe that you have a plan. That you have a plan. And the last kind of observation that I would make is that there has to be a courage to act. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water, notice this, from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam. And while the water flowing down to the sea, which referring to the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all of Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing onto dry ground. I love that Joshua doesn't say, sharpen your swords. I'm going to give you the ultimate Braveheart speech. Freedom! Let's do this. It's not what he said. He had the courage to take a step forward with the people, even though he didn't know how it would all work out. A courage is not the absence of fear, by the way. It's the willingness to step forward even when you're fearful. I was saying recently, at this particular place, I have a daughter. She's 5. She's wonderful. Her name is Maggie, and she's amazing. By the way, I was an expert parent until I became a parent. You should know that. And so anyway, I was sharing with her. The lights were off, so it was really dark in this room. We were in the back room in the gymnasium. And I wanted to make this like a life lesson. This was a major dad failure. And so we start walking right through there. The lights are off. You can't see anything. I'm holding her little hand. And we start walking. She says, Dad, I'm scared of the monsters. And I said to her, you are a Kennedy. You punch fear in the face. I said, I am your dad, and your dad is stronger and greater than all of the monsters. To which she replied, "There are monsters in here?" Dad failure. These people are waiting. They're waiting on the river to dry up. And Joshua is inviting them to step in the river. This is a truly only God story. But here's what happens. They step in the river. I don't want us to miss this. They step in the river and nothing happens. All of a sudden, what is challenged in their life are their old paradigms of God. See, God's doing a new thing. Jesus is writing a new story. I'm sure what they're thinking of is what took place with Moses and the Red Sea, that they go to step and God parts the Red Sea and they walk out. That's not what happens here. Instead, it's further up that God stops the river. What I love about this is if we're going to enter into a new chapter and life with God, we have to be willing for our old paradigms, some of them, to die, and for new paradigms to be elevated, to give life. There is a new day under Joshua's leadership, and God was doing away with the old paradigms. God was about to do a new work, and he was teaching them. He was teaching them to walk by faith. You know what the opposite of faith is? It's not fear, it's sight. We are called to be people who do not walk by sight, but walk by faith. And they enter into this next chapter. And here's the last thing I want us to see in chapter 4. And I think this is really fitting for us to end this morning. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." What's so striking is that God gave them a way to remember. And I think there's something so powerful and so sacred there. Whenever you walked in here, you were given keys of remembrance. And if we ran out of keys, there were a few more people than we expected today. And so figuratively think in your mind. If you have one of those keys, would you mind just taking it out right now? I want you to hold it in your hand for me. I want to urge you, I want to encourage you to take this, if you will. You'll notice that every single one of them are different because every single person in this room is different and unique. And I'd love for you to put that on a keychain with you and carry it as a key of remembrance of this day. Remembrance in two different ways. One is every time you hold on to that key that you would pray for this place, that God would do something great for his name right here in South Baldwin. We would love that. I would love that. I need your prayers. We need your prayers. We are in this together. And the second thing I want you to think about, and if you don't have a key, maybe take out your keys for a moment and just think about this. Where is God inviting you into a new chapter? We know that God's inviting us corporately as a church in the new chapter, but what about you? Maybe the point that's keeping you from stepping into a new chapter with God is just this humility to surrender. And you go, "That's my key that I haven't turned, if you will, by God's grace." Maybe the truth is in your own life, you're just going, "Yeah, here's what's happening in my life. I can't get into a new chapter because God's not first in my life." And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you go, "I'm really, really struggling that God has a good plan, and I'm resisting that." You'll never jump in to the new chapter with God until you're willing to take that key by God's grace and start opening those doors. And maybe it's the courage to act. Maybe God's been doing something in your life, and he goes, "I've got it set up. All you need to do is take that step of faith." Wherever it is, I want to encourage you with this, and the worship team can join me. I want to encourage you with this, that our God is a good Father, that Jesus writes the best stories, that God's greater and bigger story is so wonderful, and there are always new chapters with God, and you are invited in to a new chapter. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. We're going to go into a time of prayer, and then we're going to go into a time of offering and worship through singing. But I'd like to ask you this morning, just between you and God. Would you mind just right where you're at? Every eye's closed in this room. Just some private space before God. Maybe you're here today and I just simply want to pray for us. I want to pray for us in a pastoral way this morning. And I'm just going to walk through these. And if you go, that's me, Sean, just raise your hand for just a moment. Every eye's closed. I'm here today, Sean, and the truth is I'm really struggling with the humility to surrender to God. And I want, by God's grace, to surrender fully to Him. If that's you this morning, will you just raise your hand this morning and keep those hands up? Amen. If you're here today and you just go, you know what I'm struggling with? The truth is God's not first in my life and I am struggling with that, but I know this is what God's calling me into and I'm resisting it, but today I want to take that step forward. If that's you today, will you just raise your hand? Say, God, I want God to be first in my life. If you're here today and you just go, for me, it's really all about trusting that God has a plan. It's hard sometimes for me to see the bigger plan, but by God's grace, I want to trust that He has a bigger plan. You just raise your hand up. If you're here today and you just go, for me, honestly, God's been doing some things in my life, but I'm just going to be completely honest. I need the courage to act on it. If that's you, will you just stick your hand up this morning? Praise God. I want to pray for us. We're going to move into a time of offering and worship. Right there, I want to pray for you. God, I'm so grateful for all these people. I pray for everyone who's in this room today. The most important thing that I would long for every single person is that we put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. That ultimately you would be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not just in this universe, but in our life. I pray for all of those who are here today, and their next step in this new chapter really is a humility to surrender. I pray for those who are taking steps today to put you first. I pray for those who are taking steps today to say, God, I'm open to your bigger plan for my life. And I pray for those who are taking the steps today to have the courage to act. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, will you meet them in a transformative way? I thank you for this space. I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege of opening your word. In Jesus' name, the name above all names, we pray and we worship. Amen.